And now, it's sports time. Featuring forecasts, plot synopsis, character studies, explanations, and interviews. Making sports accessible to everyone, from the diehard to the hardly interested. With your host, Ezra Fisher, it's the Dear Sports Fan Podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome back for week two of Pitch That Game, America's favorite game show it's never heard of. Tonight, I'm literally sitting on a couch with my partner, Sonia Boot Whitaker, and I'm going to try to help her figure out which one football game she's going to watch this weekend. So before we get started, Sonia, could you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your relationship to sports?
So I grew up in a more or less sports agnostic household. My mom was a big fan of baseball, and we watched a lot of Red Sox games while we were knitting and eating potato chips and drinking red wine, which was a favorite activity of ours. We would always watch the Super Bowl, and we would occasionally watch tennis matches, but we weren't a sports-heavy household, and I never enjoyed playing team sports, but I did like, you know, individual sports like rock climbing and so on that you don't really watch on TV. But I am a Boston fan, generally speaking, so especially now living in Boston, I'm very happy to get a chance to watch Patriots games, follow the Patriots again, especially now that it's fall.
To figure out what our options in Boston are, we're going to go to one of my favorite websites. It's 506, the numbers, sports.com. And if you go to 506sports.com/NFL, they've got these awesome maps of every week of the NFL season. And what games you're going to get in your local market just on normal TV.
Yeah, but it's pretty confusing how they lay it out. They have the different channels and then they have the different time slots and sort of a different... Can you explain a little bit about how that works?
Okay, Ezra here. So we ended up talking about this for about 5 minutes, maybe more. So instead of putting you all through that, I'm going to write a post about that, about how to use that website in the upcoming week. And we'll just get right to the Pitch That Game for this podcast.
All right, let's get to it. So you're going to have a choice of three games, plus the Sunday night game and the Monday night game.
And the Thursday
night. Which was yesterday, so you cannot watch that in the future. We're having all of these temporal problems today. All right. Let's start.
No time travel allowed.
Let's start with the game that by default you're going to be most interested in watching. It's the New England Patriots at Buffalo Bills because you're a Patriots fan. So this is at 1 p.m. on CBS in the greater Boston area and other places. The New England Patriots have dominated their division of four teams, the AFC East, for the past decade and more. Over the past 13 years, the Patriots have won 11 division titles. During that time, their divisional rival, the Buffalo Bills, have tried everything possible to catch up with them, but to no avail. With each passing year and each passing game, the tension among Bills fans and players gets ratcheted up a little bit more. Games between these two teams are always tactically interesting and palpably exciting, especially now that the Bills are coached by defensive mastermind and over-the-top crazy person Rex Ryan. Ryan's enthusiasm may be the only answer for Patriots coach Bill Belichick's icy demeanor.
Can you remind me what a divisional rival is again?
Sure. It just means they're in the same division. So the 32 teams in the NFL are divided up into 8 groups of 4 teams each. And when you're within that group of 4 teams, you play twice a year instead of once a year or less.
Oh, it's not that they have a special relationship with each other that's a rivalry. It's just that they're part of that grouping of 4.
Well, often those teams, and they're the ones that develop the really heated rivalries because they play twice a year. And because
twice a year.
Well, that's, you know, that's 1/8 of all the games they play in a year.
Yeah, so but coming from a baseball background, 2 games sounds kind of weak.
I would say that these two teams have a rivalry that would exist even if one of them changed divisions. They don't. Yeah, they don't get along very well.
Okay. And how do the Bills play? Like, is there something that's noticeable about their the way that they play that I can see in opposition to the Patriots play? Or?
Well, we don't really know how they play yet. They have Rex Ryan, their coach, is brand new this year to the to the Bills.
Where was he before?
He was a coach for the New York Jets for a while. So we sort of know how he likes to coach, and we sort of know what the Bills players are like, but we don't know how they fit together yet.
Why do you say that he's a crazy person?
Oh, he's just, like, he's a really, really fun person to watch in a press conference because he'll say kind of whatever goes through his mind.
He's like the Trump. He's the Trump. Yeah,
maybe
coaches.
He's the Trump of football coaches. He was the one, I read a New York Times article about him years ago that I really loved. Apparently when he was interviewing for the Jets job, he went on this long road trip with the Jets general manager.
Mm-hmm.
And the general manager later said that the moment he knew he had to hire Rex Ryan was when they were driving.
Pants?
Rex Ryan spilled a Slurpee or something all over his sweatpants. And he said, oh no, these were my dress sweats.
Sounds like he's a good match for Belichick.
Yeah. All right, so interested, not interested?
Oh, I would love to see the Patriots play. They're always a joy, despite the Trump.
Okay, so...
situation.
What are you talking about? No.
Brady loves Trump.
Ah.
Brady has a Make America Great Again hat in his locker and has said, you know, in front of cameras that he thinks it would be great if Trump would be president.
All right.
It's a little situation we need to deal with here in Boston.
Let's just go over there. He only lives in Belmont, right? It's not that far.
I thought he lived in California.
I think he lives in Belmont. Anyway.
No, he lives
so,
in California.
Your other option.
At least in the offseason.
At 1 p.m., your other option is the Atlanta Falcons at the New York Giants.
Look, I know my Brady, okay?
All right. Let's move on.
Oh, boy, you have to edit that out. I'm going to sound like such a
dweeb. That's staying in.
No, come on. So edit.
Come on, we're never going to get to watch Boston Legal if you keep this up.
All right.
So, the Atlanta Falcons at New York Giants is your other option at 1 p.m. These two teams are mirror images to some extent. They both feature very good quarterbacks whose success in the league so far has still left them just short of being considered great. They both have sublimely talented wide receivers, Julio Jones for the Falcons and Odell Beckham Jr. for the Giants. Both of these guys are capable of turning any single play into a work of art. Neither team is in possession of even an average defense, but the Falcons may have an edge there in the form of newly hired head coach Dan Quinn, whose specialty is getting the most out of whatever defensive talent is given to him.
I have to rank that against the Patriots game?
Yeah.
I still want to watch the Patriots. I mean, that, you know, you presented it in an interesting way, but it's hard to beat watching your own team.
Right. So, if you watch a game at 1 p.m., you'll watch the Patriots.
Yeah.
So we've got three more shots to get you off of that game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So at 4:30 on Fox, it's the Dallas Cowboys at Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
Not only are these two teams deadly rivals, they are in the same division, they're also rivals, but they are also at the center of an existential NFL drama. The drama surrounds the position of running back, and the question is, to what extent is the success of a running back the product of his offensive line? The players who blocked for him. The Cowboys, who have the best line in the league, and who last year had the best running back, a guy named Marco Murray, have staked out the position that the running back is a product of his blockers. They're so sure of it that this summer they let Murray sign with the Eagles, and basically didn't bother replacing him with an equal talent. During week one, the Cowboys' new running backs did okay, but not nearly as well as Murray did last year. On the Eagles' side, it was the same story. Their new running back, DeMarco Murray, looked okay, but not anything like what he looked last year with the Cowboys.
Now, this is interesting because I have enjoyed watching both of these teams in the past couple of seasons play. I'm not sure. It has a little bit more teeth than the last one that you talked about, but I'm not sure it can overcome watching the Patriots. Especially since running backs, not as exciting as, like, people who you throw to. I don't know. I'm not sold, but, you know, it's in the running.
Cool. So, Sunday night at 8:30 p.m. on NBC. It's the Seattle Seahawks at the Green Bay Packers. This is a rematch of last year's NFC Championship game. That's the semifinal round with the winner going to the Super Bowl. The Packers basically had that game won last year before committing a series of confounding, incomprehensible mistakes that let Seattle come back.
They were confounding and incomprehensible.
Win the game and take what the Packers must have felt were their tickets to the Super Bowl. That loss is still a festering wound on the psyche of the Packers.
A wound in their psyche?
Winning this game and sending the Seahawks to a surprising zero-win, two-loss start to the 2015 season would be like the combination of a cool compress and a refreshing cocktail for the Green Bay Packers.
I do really like the Green Bay Packers because they play Settlers of Catan in their free time. And I do really like watching the Seahawks lose. Do you think that that's actually going to happen?
I don't know.
What do you think the chances are that that's going to happen?
Interesting question. Let's see what Vegas thinks, because they know a lot more than I do.
All right. Ring, ring. Hello, Vegas?
They think that the Packers are three-point favorites.
Packers are...
The Green Bay Packers are three-point favorites. The Green Bay Packers are at home, and the sort of general logic of Vegas is that the home team is always gets sort of the benefit of 3 points. So what they're saying is that these teams are exactly evenly matched.
But given that the Packers are at home.
No. They're on a neutral field. Like if they played in the Super Bowl, they'd be evenly matched. But because they're playing in Green Bay, Green Bay should win by 3 points. That's what they're saying.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
All right. Well, why don't you wait to tell us whether you're going to watch that or the Patriots game after we describe the last game of the weekend.
Okay.
At 8:30 p.m. on Monday on ESPN, it's the New York Jets at Indianapolis Colts. So the Colts are a very, very good football team with one terrible weakness. They're just not physical enough.
What does that even mean? They're physical.
Yeah, it's a good point. So let's break that jargon down a little bit. What that means is that generally when the Colts are on defense, if you, as an offensive team, if you run a lot, you tend over time to be able to run better and better as the game goes on because their defensive linemen are not as strong as your offensive linemen.
So it's about endurance.
It's about, it's about strength and endurance. And, you know, there's not necessarily even the same players on the field all the time. So you're also talking about depth. So maybe the Colts don't have as many players. But there is a lot of football that is about just
feats of strength.
Sort of feats of strength and like an accumulation of individual wrestling matches. And the Colts, even though they're really skilled, they tend to lose those wrestling matches over time. So the Jets, they are really physical. They're flawed in lots of other ways. They don't have a very good quarterback, although he did go to Harvard. They're from New York. They play in New Jersey, which is weird.
All kinds of problems with the Jets and the Mets.
Yeah, the Mets and the Jets and the Nets. But they are pretty good at running the ball, and they're pretty physical. So I'm interested in this game to see if the Colts, after suffering a set of these sort of very similar defeats, whether they can scheme and think and plot their way out of being punished and losing the game again.
I think, although that was an interesting analysis of terminology, it doesn't raise the game to the level of beating out either of my top two right now, which are the Seahawks versus the Green Bay Packers and the Patriots versus somebody game.
Right.
I don't know. When are those two games? Maybe I can make time in my busy schedule for two.
So the Patriots game is at 1 on Sunday, and the Seahawks and Green Bay Packers game is at 8:30 on Sunday.
All right. I don't think the grad school would suffer too much if I did some reading while in front of the television.
Great.
Two games a day.
I think.
I make a good choice?
I think you did. I think the conclusion is, you want to watch your team play.
Yeah, yeah.
And of the other games, the most exciting one is the Seattle Seahawks at Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks so much for being on, Sonia.
I hope you have fun editing out all these giggles.
Thanks for listening to the Dear Sports Fan podcast. You can find more podcasts and tons of writing at dearsportsfan.com. If you like what you see and hear there, please subscribe. Thanks to Jesse Fisher for the theme music. He's at jessefisher.com. Have a great day.